Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Agency Profit Podcast. I'm very excited to introduce you to our guest today. He is the General Manager of Marketing Services at one of the largest and fastest growing white label agencies and also SaaS companies, two of my favorite business models all in one, called Vendasta, where he leads a large team of digital agents that provide services to all kinds of different businesses worldwide, thousands of businesses worldwide, things like social media management, website creation, digital advertising, and all kinds of other things in both English and French, of course, because we're here in Canada. He's from Canada and we do things bilingual over here. He's worked in all kinds of different fields across all kinds of different businesses over his career. And he's in Saskatchewan, which is in Western Canada. So just love having another Canadian here on the show. And that's where he lives with his spouse, Alyssa, and his two sons, Auburn and Sebastian. And today he's going to join us to help give us some insight into how he manages a team of over 60 people that are delivering services for thousands of clients and how they think about that and how they make that work. I've always believed that white label agencies are some of the best in the world at operations. So we have a unique opportunity today to get to hear from the man that's trying to make all of that work and doing an excellent job. So with all that, Troy, I want to welcome you to the show and thank you for being here today.
Hey, Marcel, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. It's a little cool here in Saskatchewan at the moment, but it's the good thing about living in Saskatchewan, it's the center of the universe and we don't change our clocks. Everybody changes the clocks around us. So
I never thought of it that way. So there you go, guys. Fun fact, Saskatchewan is at the center of the universe. It certainly doesn't look like that from a map, but there it is. So before we get into anything too deeply here, Troy, I just want to give you the opportunity in your own words to let us know what you're doing at Vendasta and how you guys are serving your customers today.
Sure. Well, let me start with talking a little bit about Vendasta. Vendasta is a technology platform first and foremost. And our mission, of course, is to empower small businesses around the world. We drive local economies is what we like to say. What Vendasta, you know, on the surface, Vendasta is a lot of things. And so it's hard to summarize it in a nutshell. But if I were to summarize it in a nutshell, I'd say we help businesses like agencies deliver their own digital services and help them scale their services, as well as provide opportunities to add other services that they can scale so they can scale their business. What my role is the general manager of marketing services. I manage a large team of fulfillment agents, digital agents. We've got a team that does digital advertising and focuses on the typical Google advertising. We also have our own product called Local Ads. And then we have a team that does websites and a number of different varieties of types of websites, everywhere from sort of a templated site to a full-out custom website. And then we also offer another number of different services, things like social media posting, reputation management, claiming listings, and then we've on the horizon are a whole bunch of other services, including some graphic design services and SEO services.
Amazing. So here's what I find so incredible and fascinating about what you guys are doing. Most companies that do white label or outsource services for agencies are focused on just one thing because it's so important, you know, for them to be able to produce consistent results. Whereas you guys are able to produce consistent results across a variety of different services with your delivery team. And so to me, that's just incredible. And so I'd love to know, you know, how important is it for you guys to have excellent operations as an outsourced or white label delivery team?
I mean, the operations is critical. We service essentially two cohorts. We have what we call large cloud broker and small cloud broker. And a cloud broker is basically anyone that brokers digital services or sells their own services or brokers out other services online. And the large cloud broker would be, you know, defined like an enterprise company that may have 100 employees or more. And smaller could be anything from, you know, a mom and pop operation with 10, 12 people down to, you know, just me, myself and I running an agency and looking for ways to scale it. And so we have to actually segment our customers to streamline our operations differently. The larger enterprise operations require a much different way of approaching their customers than do the small agency customers who may be a little bit more high touch. And maybe a little bit more flexible in the services that they offer, whereas the larger organizations have very specific services. They don't like to stray too far from what they offer. It's sort of like if you think about the franchise model, if you will, how they want people to have a consistent experience using their services every single time. And the smaller agencies, they're trying to actually steal business from the larger agencies, you know, where they offer the more customized approach, but of course, at usually at a higher dollar.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, you know, having standard operating procedures, having processes by which you guys communicate with clients, how you guys service clients, how you guys communicate with your clients' clients, and how you service them and how you produce results for them. You know, having standard operating procedures for that is a critical piece of what you do. And obviously, you know, that allows you guys to bring people in, scale the team, because you guys are growing fairly quickly. And so I would love to get some insight into how you guys are creating and maintaining these processes, because clearly that's something that you have to be on top of all the time. How do you guys think about creating and documenting this stuff?
So, it all starts out with, so first of all, we have a large number of different services that we have. Everything is fully documented. Right from the time a person is hired, they go through a training process. First, they do a week-long training just about Vendasta and the platform and what we do as a company. And then they come into marketing services, and then they'll get specific training on marketing services and all the different things we offer. Then they go on to a team within marketing services where they're going to deliver specific services, and they'll be trained in detail through a shadowing process and through a formal training process for 3 months to be able to understand the individual process that is focused on that clientele. So we have teams that, you know, some teams will focus on one enterprise company, and then we have teams that focus on multiple smaller agency type of businesses. And so that the process is everything. And we also need to be able to make sure that we have cross-training amongst teams. So we can't depend on one person. We never want our individual fulfillment team members to be too married to any particular partner, because if they get sick, if they quit, if something happens that they're not available, we need to be able to keep our fulfillment moving along all the time. And so process is the key. Any one of our members, are trained in a variety of different verticals and in a variety of different processes, and can fill in for each other as needed. So we have 62 people on my team right now, probably going to grow to about 78, 80 next year. And so the more we grow, the tighter these processes get. As you know, we're also creating different levels of structure within the organization so that we can handle this, because a big part of how we are successful is we keep our teams small. We try to keep our teams between 5 and 7 people, and those 5 to 7 people will service a certain number of partners and a certain number of small businesses.
And so why that number? Why 5 to 7? How did you guys come to that conclusion that was the optimal size?
I think through trial and error is how it happened. But it's what's manageable. If you think about, so in our day-to-day, we have, you know, weekly meetings for each team. We have meetings for the department. We have meetings for the company. And then we have one-on-ones that are done with each team member at every level once a week. And mm-hmm. so that in itself, in order to be effective and to be for our people to be in touch, our team leads to be in touch with your people, they have to know them and spend time with them. And so when you get to 7 people on a team and you're spending 7 hours a week just in, you know, communicating back and forth to your team, that's a good chunk of your week. And so that seems to be the optimal number. And in fact, 5 is probably the best number. But then of course you have to have a little room for knowing when it's time to create a new team.
Awesome. Now, you just talked about something I think is really important, and I'd like to dig into a little bit more, which is some of the cadences that you guys have built in. You just talked about, you know, cadences around performance review and meeting with employees. And another cadence that I think is interesting is how you guys keep your processes up to date, because obviously a lot of the things you guys are working on are changing all the time. You know, Google Ads are changing, the platforms you guys might be working on are changing. So how do you guys ensure that, you know, you have the right cadences in place to make sure the team is performing well and to make sure the processes you guys are following are always up to date to deliver the best results to your clients?
So, you know, documenting our process is the start of it all, but we're always looking for pain points and friction points and trying to remove those friction points. As a technology provider, first and foremost, the question is, can we deliver this service or process on a scalable way automatically? Can technology take over? In a lot of cases, it can, but also in a lot of cases, it cannot. And so first we go to the technology and see if we can get that in our backlog. And if not, then we have to streamline the process and remove any friction points that are necessary to keep things moving forward. And again, this happens at every level. So any team, they have weekly meetings that they discuss their processes and what can be improved upon them. And the exciting part about being a growing company is our teams are always growing. We're always having a new influx of people. As we get new ideas generated by some of our newest employees all the time, of things they've done and tried in the past, or just thinking about things and looking at things as a slight difference. And some of those little ideas can create, for example, we had a situation where we were manually creating a report. And a new team member gave the slightest bit of a suggestion that they went to the development team with, and the development team could easily implement it within a couple of hours of work. And it saved us 80 hours a month in the time that it takes to take. Yeah. So little ideas like that are make all the difference. And so pivoting regularly and always looking at your process is incredibly important. Plus, as we know, companies like Facebook are always pivoting and changing. And so we're reliant on a lot of these other systems that we always have to be looking for ways to improve our process and make things better. And on top of that, every partner that we have is somewhat different and has different needs. And so we try to keep the personal touch to be scalable, you have to have a certain amount of consistency. Mm-hmm. But to be successful, you have to be willing to have a little bit of flexibility.
Yeah. So I'm interested to get granular on this because I think there's a lot of value to be unpacked here. So your teams are meeting on a regular basis. They're extracting feedback, about what's working, what's not working, what could be working better. And then from there, that feedback gets captured in the meetings. What happens after that to turn it into something that's, repeatable and that can actually go into improving the organization? Are you guys assigning people to kind of take the lead on improving process? Do you guys have a team of people dedicated to that? How does that work?
Yeah, so we have different levels of management. So in marketing services, it starts out with I guess the basic level would be a strategist. And then there's various levels within a strategist and various different positions. And then we go to a team lead, and that team lead is the person that really is where the process starts and starts to manage their individual processes. And then we have team managers, which is, that we've broken our teams into three larger teams. We've got what we call core services, digital advertising, and our websites team. And then above that, we also have an operations manager that sort of sees it all. We're just at the point right now where our growth path is exploding, and the structure that we have been using is starting to implode a little bit on us. And so we're now breaking it apart, and we're literally going down to each job position and saying, okay, do we need to split that off into two different positions? Because again, to be scalable, you have to have people who are very good at what they do and very good at specific things. You can't, generalists don't work that well in scaling. You need, and in fact, that's probably one of the biggest problems that an agency have, is that they hire someone as a generalist, and maybe they hire someone if they do websites to be able to do websites, but then all of a sudden they also want them to write content. And then all of a sudden they need to start maybe claiming listings, or they need to do social posting, and then they're spread a little thin, but because they haven't got enough work to do it all. And where we are slightly different, where we're trying to build experts in all these different areas, so that many of them, so that our agencies that are coming to us can rely on an expert and know that they're getting good quality work done. And so at the moment right now, we've kind of taken a step back, and we're looking at our structure, and we're trying to figure out ways where we can improve on just the structure of the organization. And so that as problems surface, they can be fixed as low in the structure as possible, if that makes sense. So we want to be able to empower our team leads to be able to fix problems in their process without having to come to us and say, can I do this?
Yeah. Okay, very cool. So with that comes kind of the next thing, which is you guys have got a lot of services. And I think this is something that a lot of agencies struggle with or can easily mess up, which is adding a new service to their service offering. And this is something that clearly you guys have been able to be successful at, not just, adding a new service, but adding it as an outsourced service, which I think is even more difficult. How do you guys think about, examining those different opportunities for new services, and how do you figure out when it's the right time to add one?
Yeah, you're right. And there is an extra layer in there too of being a white label agency. So not only are we adding new services, we have to find ways to conceal our identity and to operate under your brand, the agency brand. Yeah. And so now we, we don't add new services every day. We do get asked almost daily if we can do something or another. I mean, we've got relationships with many partners where, I mean, their business depends on us without question, and they'll tell you so. And so there's a lot of things they'd like us to do that we can't do. We simply can't scale it. And so first and foremost is we look at the ask, and we, you know, you do a quick analysis of whether or not this is something we think that could be scalable or not. And if it's scalable, then it kind of goes through a process where we have a product marketing manager who will do some research on it, and we'll start investigating what the, you know, what's out there in the world, who's offering these services, what price range are they in. And then we take it back as a leadership team, and we'll start to break that down, and we'll essentially build a proposal that will go to our the senior leadership in the company and discuss whether or not we think this would be an added value to either of our small club broker or our large club broker cohorts. Once it gets to that point, then we kind of have to come back and break it down to actual tasks. You know, I mean, at the core of every service we offer is just a bunch of things that have to get done. And that usually happens trial and error. We're fortunate that we have, in marketing services, we have just about 600 partners that we work with. You know, that's not to say that, I mean, we have many, many more we work with, as a company as Vendasta that don't use our marketing services, but use our platform to deliver their services. But you know, when you were able to partner with, some of these organizations that will help us, you know, trial out a service and see if it's scalable. And that's a lot of trial and error. And, you know, sometimes there's a little heartache involved. We, you know, we do make mistakes in that process. But the whole purpose of that is to figure out what those, you know, what those blockers are, where the friction is, what kind of mistakes they are, and then develop a process around that. And then it just gets documented to death, and then training, you know. You know, so for example, you know, as of lately, legalization of marijuana has been a thing. So, mm-hmm. And we've been getting companies coming to us that service that, that sector. And so we ourselves have had to become experts on that cohort, what's allowed, what's not allowed. And it gets complicated because, you know, within Canada, you know, our rules are pretty much across the board nationwide. But when you get into the United States, every state has different rules that you have to follow. And so, you know, if you're doing social posting or if you're doing digital advertising, like a violation of that rule can have severe penalties to it. So what we've done is we had our team members explore it, understand it, research it, and then train upon it. And then we have a learning management system that all of our trainings will go into and that we can then scale up through training new employees.
Awesome. So that was kind of the next place that I wanted to go into was, I think a lot of agencies, they like the idea of documenting process. And if they go into this kind of for the first time, they document. And then the next challenge is, how do we actually get the team to follow these processes so that, you know, we can ensure that they're getting implemented? Now, I know you guys have done a lot of work around this. I know you've built a lot of internal tools for this as well, some of your clients are actually able to use to kind of make sure the tasks are getting managed and done properly. What are some of the core principles that have, you know, that you believe have helped you guys become successful in making sure that the team, you know, does a great job of following these processes?
So because we are a technology partner, you're absolutely right. Some of the software that we've developed has made it easier for us to follow process. So we have a software tool called Social Marketing that we used to post out all of our social posting. So it's competitive with a tool like Hootsuite. We have a reputation management tool, which we call RepMan, that is, again, to be able to monitor reviews and respond to them on a mass scale and to be able to do review requests. And probably our most important tool in marketing services is a tool called Task Manager, you know, which it could be related to maybe a tool like Trello or, you know, Wunderlist. But it's sort of customized to be able to work with our partners. So it's a shared tool. So when a partner comes on board, they have access to the same tool we have access to. So we're truly one team. And we have meetings with our agencies and our partners on a regular basis so that we can, and again, it depends on the level of organization. Sometimes bigger operations really just hand us their business and say, these are the processes, you need to follow them every time. And then those teams, they have enough volume that we have teams that work just on their organizations. And then some of the smaller ones have the more high touch approach, and we'll have weekly, if not daily, meetings with them, short meetings with them, just to organize the day, make sure that we all the touch points that have to happen with their partners or with their customers are going to happen.
And so it sounds like part of what's helped you guys become successful in implementing processes and having your team follow them is actually baking this into their workflow, which is probably where a lot of those tools come from. Is that right?
Yep, absolutely. And so some partners will come to us and let's use a website design company, for example. Maybe that's what they do and that's what they're best at and that's all they want to do. But they also want to, they also know that they have a, they have a hundreds of businesses that they do, that they have the trust of, and that there's a lot of complimentary services they could be offering. So they'll come to us for those complimentary services. And the task manager tool that we have allows us to determine which is their workload, which is our workload, and builds transparency into that workload. So when we build a project out and that is related to a number of tasks, right from the point where they order the service, our system builds that project automatically. We've mapped it out ahead of time. So it builds it automatically, and then we can start fulfilling on that almost immediately.
I just want to take a moment to sit back and appreciate, like, this is probably something that seems completely natural and logical, and obviously, I don't think Vendasta could do what it does without all these processes. But I think to a lot of people listening to this, this might sound like really, really advanced and crazy. And it's amazing how many agencies just don't really have this base of processes. So it's just really cool to sit here and listen to how central this is to the way that you guys think about creating and developing services and delivering results to your clients. And I think already this has been extremely valuable. So I just want to acknowledge that this is truly a masterclass in operational excellence at the service business.
When you think about an agency owner, they have so much on their plate. They have, and first and foremost is always, they're always thinking about sales, about, business development and continuing their business because, natural attrition will happen, churn will happen. It's a part of being in business. And so most business owners will always have their hand in business development, and we'll of course hire out team members as well. And it's really difficult to focus on both sales and business development and running the business as a whole and making sure that everyone's getting paid on time and that the money is there. And then also focusing on fulfillment and margins, making sure that you're profiting off the things that you're doing. And so Vendasta has really taken, we started out with one customer, one partner who wanted a service. And we just said, hell yeah, we'll just try it. We'll do it. And we had a couple of people we put onto it, didn't know what the hell we were doing. But we just made it work, and we were able to, trial and error within, a few months, scale out a service for them. And then it was like, And then as we started to mature as a company, more and more people that were coming to our website, we would notice were coming to our marketing services page. And so we just realized this was something that goes hand in hand with what we do with the, with the automation and marketing platform we have. It's a sales tool in a lot of ways, and it helps drive new business and understand who the, which leads you should be talking to. But it goes hand in hand with that. And so the services we offer for a lot of partners, they wouldn't be able to scale their business beyond a lifestyle business if they didn't have somebody like us.
Well, and this is, I think, another part of the reason why I wanted to have you on is not only did I want to siphon as much knowledge out of your brain as possible, which is being great, but I think it's also important for the agents that are listening to know that there are services like this out there. Because to your point, I think so many people are focused on, just managing their business. They don't necessarily have the bandwidth, and they might have a great opportunity to add revenue to their business, but can't afford the administrative overhead that comes with adding a new service. And I think that, white label partners are a great way to get that service off the ground, at the very least validate it and start selling it and start to figure out what that process looks like, even if you do plan on bringing it in the house later. And most of the time when you evaluate it, it makes sense to just keep going along with the white label partner because you can make consistent margins and you don't have to take on the administrative burden of adding a new service. And you can still, deliver what your core service is to your client and then continue to add more value with all the things that probably go along with that. For example, website agencies that want to, offer SEO or, different ways to drive traffic to the website they just built for their clients. So, that's another part of the reason why I wanted to bring you on. And for those listening, you know, I really believe that white label services are a great way to validate new service offerings and expand your business without necessarily adding a ton of complexity.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, partners come to us with different motivations and different goals. We've had many partners come to us with the goal of building their own fulfillment teams in different areas, but exactly to your point, they can't afford to hire a full-time web developer, or they don't understand the process involved in doing certain things that we do. And by coming on board with us and selling a few services with a few clients, they're able to scale that up so that they have revenue that will allow them to hire out and to take on those services themselves. And by all means, some of our partners do exactly that. They build the service themselves and then they start to fulfill it themselves. And then they use our platform for different things. In addition to what we offer, our owned and operated services, which is what the team that I run, we also have a marketplace that they can plug into. And we have, many, many vendors that offer a wide variety of high quality services that they can also plug into. And the portal, if you will, for our software gives their customers an online place to log in and get access to all these things that they can sell and not have to service themselves and profit from it.
It's awesome. And if you guys haven't checked out the platform, it's definitely worth having a look at, because not only does it add a bunch of potential revenue streams, but it also adds some nice operational and workflow tools to your belt that just help manage that relationship with the client and make sure that they're having a great experience as well.
Any agency who is busting at the seams needs to be talking to us.
Awesome. So there'll be some contact information down in the show notes, guys. The next thing that I want to dig into with you, Troy, is I think the thing that so many people struggle with in service businesses, which is scaling and managing team, and resources, right? People leaving, the company growing, onboarding those people, having them available in the first place to hire. Obviously, you guys have had to get very, very good at this. So I'd love to know, what are some of the core principles that have allowed you guys to do a great job of making sure that even when the team is changing, even when the business is growing, you're still showing up and delivering results for your clients and there's still somebody there to get the task done?
Yeah. Yeah. So managing people is probably the biggest headache for any business owner, regardless of what type of business you're in. And it's no different for us. We're still managing people the same way, and we still have all the same headaches that you and everyone else on this call has if they have a team of people. Part of it is making sure that we have the right size of teams, making sure that we're able to deliver on any type of fulfillment that is required of us, regardless of whether or not someone's sick or someone is on holidays or someone quits. And so knowing that number of people is always a tricky thing. We're obviously, I'm always watching the revenue that's being generated by our revenue divisions. And that's helping me forecast out we have a forecast 3 years out of what potentially could happen. And if, when revenue grows, we can, we've got tools that we use to calculate the utilization of our employees and to know exactly when, when revenue hits a certain dollar amount that we need to be thinking about bringing on another person in the various different areas of our operations. And of course, knowing when, you can only get so much, you can only expect a certain amount of capacity out of any individual, and some there's without question, some are high performing and maybe some not so much, but there's an average amount that you expect out of every individual that, that is just anyone can do. And you sort of go by those numbers and that helps you determine, when it's time to hire new people. And we're lucky that we're always growing. We don't have to think about going the other way. And I think that as it sits right now, my team is expected, well, our company is expected to grow by over 100 people next year. And in the next couple of years, we'll almost have doubled in size. We're at 330 right now, and we're expected to be 660 within the next couple of years. And so, there's a process in place that we, in fact, one of the principles of my team, because we're a growing company, and it's probably in some ways easier for us to find people because people are finding us. There's a lot of noise out there in you know, especially in the local market that we're in. We're in a smaller market in a university town with a lot of talent. And so there's a lot of noise about, you know, good noise about us that just gets people, we have a constant stream of people who want to work for us. But they're not always the right people. And our department, you know, has a process they follow and ways that they bring in people to us. We also do a lot of word of mouth. So we know by, you know, the people that are working for us, you know, we've learned to appreciate and trust, and they have often have know people that would be good in the role. And that's a big way to get in the door with us. And then beyond that, you know, there's a hiring process. I've conducted, you know, in the year and a half I've been here, I've conducted over 100 interviews. And I had interviewed many people before, but never that many in my career in that short of a time frame. And so, you know, even our hiring process is, you know, we have, you know, there's a first level of hiring that goes through our HR department, and they're sort of filtering out whether or not they think that person would be a good culture fit for the company. Cultures, every company that has people knows that if you don't have a good culture fit, regardless of what your culture is, that's where the root of a lot of problems exist. And so once we've determined they're a good culture fit, they come to us, and then they'll try to fit them into the right role within the operation. And we have so many different job posts. At any given time, we have 30 or 40 different jobs posted for Vendasta, and my team will, you know, we're always hiring as well. We always have at least a few positions open. And so we'll bring them in, and then depending on the role that they're being in for, we'll have the manager of that department, we'll have a team lead from that department, sometimes a strategist, and often myself involved in this. And so there's three or four people that are doing the interview, but it's very casual. Our offices are our laptops for the most part, right? And so you know, we always got our laptops in front of us, but it's fairly casual, but the questions are very pointed. And we're asking questions that are going to help us determine, you know, is this person coachable? Will they learn fast? Or are they a know-it-all? Is this person a perfectionist and they're going to be blocked by trying to get things done the perfect way every time? Or are they going to be able to, you know when good is good enough and move on? Is this person reliable? Is this person going to, you know, show up for work every day? You know, because it's really important when you're growing like we are, and when you have so many partners and businesses depending on us, that our people are there. So, you know, we have processes in place as well, or we have policies in place that help with that. We have, you know, we're a company that provides a lot of different benefits. You know, we treat our employees very well. We've got, you know, massage tables, we've got gaming tables. We feed our people breakfast, you know, hot breakfast and lunch every day, and there's snacks galore. And then we also have flexible. So, you know, even when some of our employees aren't feeling the greatest, but they know they can work, but they may not, don't feel presentable to come in the office, they can flex from home if, you know, and we're set up technology wise. Our platform is just, it's all a SaaS-based product. So they just got to be able to have an internet connection and they can work from home, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
All right. So just to summarize, I think we talked about a lot of important things here. Number one was you're using, you know, revenue and what's happening in the pipeline to try and figure out when the right time to bring people on is and what utilization might look like in the future. You're always hiring, you're always recruiting and building that pipeline of talent that's kind of waiting to come in the door. You guys have obviously very strict processes around how you hire, how you filter for the right fit. And then, of course, earlier we talked about your very, very streamlined process for getting people in the organization and training them through a series of very specific steps to get them in the right position and learning the right things. So that was great. That was very concise. Yeah, I think you touched on everything. So one of the last things I want to talk about, and it's something that you and I discussed the last time we spoke, and I think it's a challenge that we see a lot of agency owners struggle with, is as they start to see the sales come in, as they start to see their client base grow, they run into this challenge of having to actually give the trust to their team and move up a level in management, start to let go of control over things like delivery and start to insert people between them and the delivery team. And obviously that's something that you guys have had to go through a couple of times, and now it seems like you're going through it again as you reorganize the company. What are some of the things that have helped you guys transition through these different segments in the business where you've had to, you know, really start to create trust within the team and make sure that even though somebody that's been doing it for a long time is moving up another level, that things are still going to get done and clients are still going to be happy?
I think one of the biggest blockers for an agency owner or a business owner in general, is them, their own self, you know, his or her own self. And that's because when you start to build out a business, you do things a certain way that you really, you know, and usually through trial and error, and then you find success. And then some people really want to control that, and they think that's the only way to build success. And when you, and by doing that, you sort of limit yourself to all the other possibilities. And so as soon as you think that way, it's really, really difficult to hire out, because you're always going to think that no matter what, you're going to think, if I can just do this better than you, so why would I pay somebody else to do it? And oftentimes when you're hiring someone new and they're learning a new process, it's absolutely true. You can do it better than them, but you need to train them how to do it. And so for an agency, you know, who has maybe two or three people, it's really difficult because everyone's full on with their roles. And it, when you bring on someone new, it slows down the team. It slows down the process, and mistakes can be made, which can be costly depending on the mistake. And so at Vendasta, we understand that. And at Vendasta, I mean, the biggest thing we have to our advantage is trust of our people. With like just unending trust at every level. Our marketing strategists, you know, so for a small business who hires a marketing strategist, that can be a senior position in a small business. For us, it's a junior position. And we are hiring mostly just, you know, graduates that come out of our local university, you know, who are driven and have a marketing background, maybe a sales and marketing background. And so there's a whole training process that has to happen. And we're very patient with that process. And we not only allow for mistakes to be made, but we almost insist that they have to be made for a person to grow. Because the last thing we want is someone to have the fear of making a mistake. Now there's a big difference between making a mistake that can be fixed. You know, putting out a social post that has a spelling mistake is very different than, you know, making a mistake that costs a business or costs the partner, their client. So we do that by giving them little things, little challenges to deal with, or little projects to work on. And then they slowly get to work on bigger projects and more, you know, and first they're not customer facing. And then slowly, you know, they earn their trust by getting better at what they're doing and starting to take calls. And before you know it, they're leading the calls. And so it is a process, but for any business owner, it's a mindset. It's it's no different if you are doing it yourself or if you're hiring us to do it for you. Because that will be a blocker for someone coming to outsourcing the work at all. And it's fair enough, because I've been a marketing manager at a hotel in one of my past lives. And, you know, we tried to do some more outsourcing, and it was difficult, and it was challenging and didn't always work. And so, and when that, if you have that experience one time, but you live by that as the rule, you never try again. Right. You know, I think one of the reasons why we are so successful, at least in the North American market, is that, a lot of people have issues with outsourcing overseas. You know, there could be barriers to language or time zones that could be issues. And because we have a team that are primarily in Canada, but there's a couple of other members that are in the United States, but we're North American, we're university trained, you know, like there's no issues with the language barrier. We're both English and French. You know, because we have that, it sort of builds confidence in our partners to try us. Mm. But the biggest mindset that any business owner can get over and should get over is, that if they trust other people, they'll find often that, you know, just by trusting them, those people might produce even better than they themselves could, just by letting them go on it. And so every team member, you know, within, you have to give them the framework to work within, and the trust grows and grows.
Well, and I think that's the key, and the main insight that I've drawn out of this is, like, having the trust is one thing, and then actually having the rails laid down in that process is going to give you that additional confidence that, you know, there's a direction for them to go in. And I think most often I see people trying to outsource, but they're not actually providing the level of support to that person to allow them the opportunity to become successful within their organization. So that's a great insight. So the last thing that I want to ask you is the importance of data for you to do an effective job of running this massive team that's doing so many things? How important is it for you to have, you know, accurate reports that you can look at on a regular basis to do things like figure out what's our utilization going to look like? How much work is coming in the pipe? You know, how quickly are we turning around all the tasks that need to get done? What, you know, what kind of things are getting missed? How important has that been for you guys to have the right reporting in place?
I mean, it's absolutely pertinent. And that's, you know, like as a, in a day and age when there's so many different tools available to us, it's kind of cool, but it's also caused a lot of clutter and confusion. And especially when systems don't talk to each other. So again, the advantage of being a technology company is that when it's absolutely necessary, it gets built into our platform. And we've got a backlog of things that are, you know, that we want to do and that we will be doing to be able to eliminate all the other tools that aren't inside of our platform, because that's really then becomes a single source of truth for us as far as data goes. But data is absolutely pertinent. I mean, you know, being able to track, you know, how much, you know, how many tasks a person can handle in any given day or week or month, and knowing, you know, where the benchmark is for that type of service, you know, allows me to get insight into whether or not we have, you know, who our superstars are, you know, where, what the expectations should be, and, you know, who the low performers are. And oftentimes the low performers isn't just, it's not because there's a reason behind it. But if I don't know who they are, I can't address those reasons. But if we can coach them when we know who they are. And so it's that type of data driven decision that's made every day in our company. And that happens, you know, from, because we're a technology company, and maybe even before a software provider, we're a data company. I think we probably have more data than almost any other company in Canada, I'm sure, in our industry, in what we, you know, and it helps us drive decisions every single day.
Well, and I love that insight, because to me, you know, that's my philosophy on data inside of organizations, especially service businesses. I get a lot of pushback from people saying, well, I'm not going to track that because it's not going to be 100% accurate. And, you know, my philosophy is, well, it doesn't have to be 100% accurate. It needs to be directionally accurate.
Directionally accurate, yeah.
And it's not there to make decisions for you. It's there to tell you where you need to go and spend some time. It's the smoke signal before the fire, right?
I was just going to say it's the resource, and data doesn't make your decision for you, and it never should. And data can be wrong, but you just need to make sure that if you're using the same data set and it's directly accurate, it'll help you guide you. But still, that's why we need smart people. That's why we need good people in our roles, because it's people that make decisions always.
Awesome. I really enjoyed this conversation. I think we've talked about a lot of really important and interesting things. I hope all listeners at home got lots of value. If you're listening and you did, wherever you're listening to this, leave us a comment. Let us know what kind of insights you got. And with that, if anybody's listening and they want to learn more about you or Vendasta, where's the best place for them to connect?
Just go to Vendasta.com. It's Vendasta.com. It's a word that people are not familiar with, and just checking, you know, if you're looking specifically for marketing services, just, you'll be able to find the toggle down to our marketing services division. But take a look at the whole platform. You know, we have tools. You know, first and foremost, we are a software vendor and a technology company, and we have tools that will help you, you know, sell your services, deliver your services, and, you know, just forget about for a moment our you know, outsourcing to us. Our tool alone will help you grow your business and scale your business. But then we also have a marketplace you can plug into and add a number of high quality services that are, you know, some big brands, some lesser known brands, and be able to plug it all in and basically give your customers one place to log into to have access to all of these things, including the marketing services that my team offers.
Awesome. So there you have it, folks. That will be in the show notes. So wherever you're listening to this, just scroll down and I'll have links for Vendasta and some of the services that they offer down there. And with that, Troy, I just want to thank you again for taking the time to be on the show and sharing so much value.
Thanks, Marcel. I appreciate your time.
All right. And thanks for everyone for tuning in. We'll see you on the next episode.